Tonight, Charlton Heston, Cecil B. DeMille, Billy Graham, and Minerva Urkel will not be heard, so that we may bring you the following special program. In fulfillment of its obligation to this fine community, WTBS presents a program of inspiration, history, and
sex.
The story you are about to hear is true. Any similarities, living or otherwise, are purely coincidental. WTBS presents
TBTGSETSF,
The Bible, the greatest story ever told so far, Part 1.
Twelve years ago today.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Damn it, who turned out the lights?
And God said,
Let there be light.
And there was light. And God saw that the light was good.
Mm-hmm.
After several uneventful days of creation, God said,
My God, I knew I forgot something.
Thereupon, he realized he was talking to himself. God was lonely. He needed someone to talk to, someone to call his own, but mainly someone to clean up after the elephants. So God created man in his own image. But his nose wasn't nearly as sensitive, and God called the man Adam, for that was his name. Adam couldn't take the terrible ribbing God was giving him, so he gave him one of his spares. And God said,
What am I supposed to do with this?
Eat it.
But I haven't invented barbecue sauce yet. This is a fine mess.
Well, they're your elephants.
There's only one thing left that we can do.
A woman. Is that anything like an elephant?
That's for me to know and you to find out.
And when we're through with you, we'll get me one too.
God had had a pretty rough 6 days, so he decided to get out of town for the weekend. But while God's away, the children will play.
Children behave. That's what they say when we're together.
What?
Put down that fig leaf and listen to me.
Or if you don't like that joke.
Adam.
Eve.
Adam.
Eve.
Adam.
Eve.
You're sitting on my fig leaf.
Or.
Adam.
Jane.
Adam.
Jane.
Adam.
Jane?
Why do you keep calling me Jane? My name's Eve.
Or finally,
Adam.
Hmm.
Adam.
Hmm.
Adam.
What?
What's worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm?
I'll bite. What?
Biting into an apple and finding half a worm.
You mean?
Yes, there was this snake.
You mean?
I'm afraid so.
You ate the snake?
No, Adam, I ate the apple.
We'll return with the verdict in just a moment.
This is your announcer, Rory Johnston, with a word about apple gunkies. In 1954, a young inventor named Fafnir Adrian was eating dinner when it suddenly struck him that he drove a modern car, watched a modern television, lived in a modern building, yet he was eating a dinner that over the centuries had remained essentially unchanged. Why, he wondered, shouldn't we have a modern, up-to-date food benefiting from all the technological innovations of our times? He thought, and suddenly he leapt up from the table, shouted Eureka, and ran to his basement laboratory. He spent 36 hours there, not stopping to eat or sleep, working on his idea. And finally he emerged, haggard and sleepy, proudly bearing the first apple gunky ever to see the light of civilization. And today, you can enjoy the fruits of Fafnir Adrian's self-sacrificing devotion to science in modern, up-to-date apple gunkies, scientifically designed for your enjoyment. Demand apple gunkies at your nearest neighborhood food supply house or wherever better foods are sold. That's apple gunky. Use some today.
We now return to tonight's verdict, already in progress.
Find you guilty. The court will now pronounce sentence. One, two, three.
Sentence!
And God sentenced Eve to 9 months at hard labor. The Lord God sent Adam forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So Adam became Attila, and called his wife Hun, because she was the mother of all her children. After settling down, they decided that they were finally able to raise Cain. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife.
Eve, don't I know you?
Fresh?
And Eve conceived her firstborn.
I can't imagine what to call him.
How about son?
Adam, you're just full of bright ideas.
If you're following along, you'll know it's now time to introduce Abel.
Cain, meet your brother, Abel.
Glad to know you.
Pervert!
As the years progressed, Adam taught his sons the essentials of life: farming, sheep herding, and elephant tending. The boys, however, already tended to keep away from the elephants. The boys had different interests. Cain became a farmer so he could raise grass. Abel became a shepherd because he knew sheep best of all. Cain brought to the Lord an offering of his fruit. Abel brought him the firstlings of his flock. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offerings, but for Cain he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell, killing Abel instantly. His remains were strewn all over the countryside.
Cain, what have you done? Gather your brother's remains together.
Why? Am I my brother's heaper?
Noah, son of mine, is going to be left to the elephants. Which reminds me, how long can you tread water?
God realized that he had made a mistake in creating man.
I think I've made a mistake in creating man. Man, you're evil. You're corrupt. You're violent. You're destructive. I'm going to destroy you!
Now wait just 1 minute, God.
All right, you have 1 minute. Go.
Aye, friends. Noah Stern here with the finest in pre-owned, fully guaranteed, reconditioned, flood-tested arcs. All our arcs are covered by a full 40-day warranty against defects in materials, workmanship, or acts of God. Friends, you've heard this all before, but right now we're holding our annual world-end sale. Prices have been slashed. Our arcs are now at rock bottom. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get away from it all in a one-owner, slightly water-damaged 4657 BC Genesis Marine Ark, another GM Ark of Excellence. And today only, for our next lucky customer, a free bunny rabbit for the kids, just in time for Easter. Pay cash within 40 days and get a matched pair. Our easy creditor bank financing comes complete with creditor life insurance. Floater policies easily arranged. The Ark is just the thing for the young couples who don't have time to set up housekeeping. So join the flood of happy customers making the exodus to Noah Stern Marine Sales. Just turn left at the... Our next lucky customer, a free pig for the kids just in time for Passover. Pay cash.
It's a plot.
Sort of. But King James is turning over in his grave.
Boston is reduced.
Hiya, hiya, friends. My name is Noah Sten Jr. I'm the ham of the family. Now, some people around town haven't been taking advantage of my dad's great deals on late-model pre-owned acts. These people are all wet. Remember, if you see an act without a Stern mini-sticker price, ask for the oars. It's your act. My name is Noah Sten Jr.
All right, Noah. I want one. I'll give you the specs.
You mean you've invented glasses? I'll drink to that.
No. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood.
But God, only you can make me into an ark of gopher wood.
No, I want you to build an ark of...
Gopher wood?
Gopher wood.
All right.
Hold your elephants, Noah. There's more. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch.
All right, hiya, friends. Noah Stern here with
no,
the
fine... No, Noah, not that pitch. Don't throw me any curves. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits.
50 cubits? That's bad breadth.
That's beyond the scope of this verse.
God, I'm sure that if we try hard enough, we can come up with verse.
That's what I'm afraid of. So I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth. But first, I will establish my covenant with you.
But God, I thought you said thou shalt not covenant.
Not yet I haven't.
God commanded Noah to take into the ark with him his family, and a pair of all animals, the male and his mate. This was indeed a burden. And Noah said to his family,
We gotta get out of this place, but I'm not taking all those insects like wasps.
Noah, don't be prejudiced.
All the fountains of the great deep burst forth. And the windows of the heavens were opened. And the rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Noah spent much of his time on the bridge of the ark, surveying the troubled waters beneath him.
God, why don't you invent Dramamine?
Don't push me, Noah. I just invented nausea.
After 40 days, 40 nights, and 40 ark-line comfort bags, the rain ceased. Noah opened the window of the ark he had made and sent forth a raven, and it went to and fro, until Noah couldn't stand it and slit the raven's throat. Croaked the raven nevermore. Then he sent forth a dove from the ark, but the dove found no place to set her foot. So she returned to the ark and flew in through the kitchen window. Noah, thinking she was one quarter cold cream, put her on ice. 7 days later, Noah sent out another dove, and this one returned with an olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth, because, as everyone knows, olives are found only in dry martinis. Finally, the earth was dry enough for Noah to leave the ark. He built an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord. And God said,
Noah, why are you burning my animals? I still haven't invented barbecue sauce.
You mean you're going to eat them raw?
It's a sacrifice I'll have to make.
The Lord promised he would lay off Noah and all mankind from now on.
But where will we get work?
Don't worry. I'll have a joke for you later on in the book. For the time being, be fruitful and multiply.
After a short millennium, the earth was again peopled and had one language and few words. And the men said to one another,
Let us build a tower with its top in the heavens that all men can see, and we shall call it the Eiffel Tower.
And God said,
They can't do that. It's awful.
No, that's Eiffel.
God feared what man could do if he was not stopped. This was the first known instance of a God-fearing man. So God confused their language, so that they could not understand one another. And the men argued amongst themselves, each in his own language, what to call their city. And God looked down upon them and said,
Babylon, children, Babylon.
All right, kids, tell your parents to leave the room. Abram, a descendant of Noah, was given the land of Canaan as a Christmas present from the Lord. Abram's wife, Sarai, could not give him a child.
Abram, I can't bear your children.
But we don't have any children.
That's what I said.
So Sarai took Hagar, her maid, and gave her to Abram as a wife. Hagar was very beautiful. In fact, everyone was panting to get into Hagar's slacks. And her children called her Mummy, because she was an Egyptian maid.
An Egyptian maid what, Abram?
She's for me to know and you to find out.
Then God made a covenant with Abram.
Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abram.
What's the difference, God?
There's an extra H-A in Abraham.
Ha! That's a laugh!
I will give you the land of Canaan forever, but...
Now cut the euphemisms. What's up, God?
That's what I wanted to talk to you about, Abraham. To keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you shall be circumcised.
We interrupt here to make sure that all parents are out of the room.
Thank you. Circumcision? That's a ripoff! God, you're a chiseler! We're getting the raw end of the deal!
Cut it out, Abraham. It's nothing to get sore about. Besides, now your wife can have kids.
You mean that's what it's for?
And we will call her Sarah, because she will be the mother of all her children.
Many miles away, in the marshes of Jordan, lived Abraham's nephew, Lot. Lot lived in Sodom, near Gomorrah. There was a lot to like in Sodom.
Sordid, scandal, sex and skin.
There were wild orgies. People were roaming the streets, committing sodomy, and contracting gomorrhea. This angered the Lord. He decided to destroy Sodom with fire, brimstone, and a clap of thunder.
Gomorrah too?
Gomorrah less.
But Abraham had a lot of concern for Sodom and Gomorrah.
But will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous men among the millions of thieves, rapists, murderers, deviants, swindlers, burglars, and thugs?
50 righteous men? I find that hard to believe.
45?
Sorry, can't believe that either.
Well, how about 10?
Tell you what I'm gonna do. If I find 10 righteous men, ha ha, for their sake, I won't destroy it.
That night, two of the Lord's angels came to Sodom to warn Lot of its impending destruction. And later that night, there was a knock at Lot's door.
Hey, big boy, who were those two beautiful men I saw you with tonight?
Those were no men. Those were my angels warning me of the destruction.
Well, fend them out. We'd like to get to know them.
Look, fellas, when you've known one angel, you've known them all. How about my two virgin daughters?
Oh no! Bust his door down, Bruce!
But the angels struck the nasty men with blindness.
But we didn't mean it. We were only kidding!
Thus was invented Blind Man's Bluff. The next morning, the angels told Lot, his wife, and his two daughters to flee, lest they be consumed in the punishment of the city. They said,
Do not look back. Run to the hills, lest you be consumed.
You want me to flee? That bites.
But they were scared, so they quickly packed a picnic lunch and left town. Then Lot's wife, looking back, realized she had forgotten the salt.
Lot! What are we going to do? I forgot the salt.
Well, we can't go back. Ask God for some.
God, make me some salt.
Poof! You're a pillar of salt.
God, you've got a lot of nerve.
You've got a lot of salt.
Nothing like a well-seasoned wife.
All right, kiddies. Your parents can come back now. As the embers slowly dim, we bid a fond farewell to the infamous Twin Cities. Abraham and Sarah had a son, and they called him Isaac. And Abraham weaned him. God, to test Abraham, commanded him to make a burnt offering of his newly weaned son. This was the first known instance of a weenie roast. Abraham took his son to the top of a nearby mountain and prepared Isaac for the sacrifice. Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar, upon the wood. Then Abraham took his knife and raised it above his son's head.
Son, this is going to hurt you more than it will hurt me.
Well, just leave it to Cleaver.
Don't fail to miss the next thrilled-packed episode of TBTGSETSF, the Bible, the greatest story ever told so far, when you'll hear Isaac say,
"Gee, Dad, that doesn't sound like a knife."
Here are some exciting previews of future programs. Moses said to the people,
"Let my people go."
And they went, right there. When they got to the Red Sea, the waters parted.
Why? See you later!
Why did Moses cross the Red Sea with his people?
Because he wanted them all to be well-read.
Moses went up the side of the mountain because he had Sinai trouble.
Lord, help me!
Or in the original transcription,
Huck mir nit kein chinek.
All right, Moses, take two of these tablets and call me in the morning.
But God, there's writing on these tablets.
Of course. It's an inscription, isn't it?
Good morning, Esau Sheld and Joshua, your humble servant speaking, Office of Urban Denewal.
I'd like a city destroyed.
Certainly, sir. Did you have any particular one in mind, or would you like to leave it to us?
Jericho.
And your name, please?
God.
Beg your pardon?
God. That dog spelled backwards.
Occupation?
God.
Let me guess, that's dog spelled backwards.
That's right.
Okay, I can work you in 2 weeks from today.
Oh, no, that'll never do. It has to be destroyed by Thursday.
No way. The earliest I can fit you in is 7 days from now. Who do you think you are?
I told you, I'm God.
Yeah, sure, I've seen your name on the money.
Well, if that's the way the walls crumble, I guess I'll just have to go elsewhere.
Oh, walls crumbling, is that all you wanted? I thought you wanted something fancy. In that case, I'm sure we can fit you in by Thursday.
So Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down.
Friends, have you been getting stoned lately? Are you getting pushed around by people who are bigger than you? Then the friendly staff at Philistern's Rod and Gun Company will teach you the manly art. We'll also teach you how to fight. As a special offer for the next 50 people to enroll, a free slingshot. Complete with stones, satisfaction guaranteed. Here is an unsolicited testimonial. David S. had never killed a giant before he stepped into our office. He writes,
"My mother kept harping on me because I was a stringy 98-pound weakling, so I invested some of my loot in your course. There were no strings attached. On the way home from my last lesson, I was taking a shortcut through the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Some shortcut that turned out to be, because I suddenly heard an ominous ho-ho-ho. I wouldn't have been frightened, but Christmas hasn't been invented yet. But my experience under the staff of the Rod and Gun Club comforted me. With sling in hand, I feared no evil. He stalked toward me. He was 23 feet tall and green. Who would have thought he would turn up here? He would not be appeased. I started to beat it, and he tried to squash me. I took out my trusty 23-carat sling and beamed him right between the eyes. That maketh him to lie down in green pastures. Unfortunately, my shoe had come apart in the skirmish, but the Lord restored my soul, tongue in cheek, and healed my injured foot. I loafed back in step and thanked the fine people at Philistern's for socking it to me.
So, get in step, folks, and come on down to Philistern's. What is your name, please?
I am the baby's mother.
I am the baby's mother.
I am the baby's mother.
Only one of these three contestants is the real baby's mother. Please follow along with King Solomon now as he reads the affidavit.
I, the baby's mother, dwelt with another woman. Last week we both gave birth to young children. But she lay on her child and killed it. And while I was asleep, she switched babies on me. It didn't take me long to realize what she had done. But she said, the living child is mine and the dead child is yours. And I said, no, the dead child is yours and the living child is mine. Signed, the baby's mother. All right, baby's mother number one, if I were to cut your baby in half and give half to each of you, what would you say?
Oh, no, give her the living child and by no means slay it.
Baby's mother number two, if I were to cut your baby in half and give half to each of you, what would you say?
It shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide it.
Baby's mother number three, if I were to cut your baby in half and give half to each of you, what would you say?
Samson, 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 listen to me. How come you're always so shaggy? Why don't you spruce yourself up?
Oh, Delilah, you're always getting in my hair. Why don't you just cut it out?
It is Christmas in Bethlehem. A star shines brightly over the city. Three men, sensing the importance of the occasion, got wise and followed the star to the mangy stable on the outskirts of town. We join the men as they enter the small door to the manger.
Jesus Christ!
That's good. Let's call him that.
Yeah, let's call him.
Jesus saves. Why don't you? At the Bank of Bethlehem. Time at the tone. 4 B.C. Exactly. Merry Christmas.
Judas, I wonder if you could help me with the arrangements for the chicken barbecue this Thursday.
You mean you invented barbecue sauce? It's about time.
Well, I've got the dishes. Why don't you take care of the dinner service?
No, you're the religious one. Why don't you do it?
No, the tableware, silly.
Oh. Well, how much do you need?
Enough for 13. That's about, 30 pieces.
Fine. I can easily get 30 pieces of silver.
Thank God you got the stuff here in time, Judas. I thought we'd be stuck with bread and wine.
Anything for a friend.
Chicken's ready, gang.
Is he here?
Yeah, that's him. The one with the halo.
Hold it! It's a bust!
What's the charge?
Healing without a license. You know, only dogs can heal without a license.
But God is dog spelled backwards. I think you're barking up the wrong tree.
Well, I'm sorry. I have my orders. I'm taking you in.
But what about the rest of the food?
Just pile it in the icebox. There's plenty of space.
This and more in future episodes of TBTGSETSF. Been listening to TBTGSETSF, The Bible, the grossest story ever told so far. Adapted for radio by Harrison Klein, Jeff Rubin, and Alan Baumgartner. Additional dialogue, Dave Allen, Frank Cunningham, Larry Kilgallen, and John Kosayan. Appearing in the cast were Dave Allen, Alan Baumgartner, Bill Drake, John Foran, Jody Gebhardt, Brian Harvey, Chris Hill, Harrison Klein, Dan Murphy, Cheryl Riley, Chris Stawitki, Sassy John Ten Thumbs, and Brock Turner. Inspiration, Gene S. Paul Jr. This is your announcer speaking. The preceding was pre-recorded by a non-profit organization.